before that, it's just over 3 weeks now until Christmas. It's December the 1st today. I appreciate this isn't national importance, but it means I'm now 40 next month. Today is the first day upon which I am 40 next month. Forgive my self-indulgence, but I'm smarting. Just over 3 weeks until Christmas, claimed that in the current economic climate, adults will, I think unsurprisingly, be spending rather less on presents, and more pertinently, for our purposes this morning, they'll be spending less on charitable causes this year. This means, of course, that charities have to be much smarter about their own fundraising, and indeed about how they spend the money that they raise. This is an issue, of course, which is not just pertinent to charities, but also at the heart of the tub-thumping that goes on in some quarters with regard to the 0.7% of GDP that this country chooses to spend on helping countries with very high infant mortality rates and the like. But we're focusing on charities because I'm joined now by Alistair Stewart, OBE, and, of course, a very familiar name, voice and face to Londoners. He's an ambassador of Care International UK from our friends at lendwithcare.org, and he joins me on the line now. Alistair, many thanks for your time.
Good morning, James, and happy 39th and a half birthday.
Nearly there, yes, not that we're counting. Educators, enlighten us a little about what Care International is all about, because anybody strolling through central London gets countless calls upon their charity now on an almost daily basis. What is it about this organisation that has drawn you?
You're absolutely right. Distinctiveness is the name of the game. Care International's 60 years old. It began sending food parcels to Europe during the Second World War and has since become an international network of national groups. So we're Care International UK. I think for me the key thing is that they don't do sticking plaster solutions, they do long-term solutions. You know, it's like the difference between if you can give a starving person a fish, you'll sort it out for a day. If you teach them how to fish, it'll last a lifetime. And that's what we're really all about, long-term solutions, and that's why the Lend With Care microfinance initiative is so important.
This is, I mean, this does exactly what it says on the tin then. You make smallish loans to people which are designed not to provide sustenance, but to provide a future.
You've got it in one, and I think the context you provided in your introduction is absolutely spot on. We are all feeling the pinch, and you and I might be lucky we've got lovely jobs in the media, but for millions of folk out there, it is tough. And the idea of putting a few bob in a tin is still possible. What we're looking for is slightly more than that. But recognizing the hardship, we're saying, make it a loan. And you can either, at Christmas time, Lend With Care, you can give somebody, you know, 10, 25, 30 quid, whatever it might be, and say, look, go on the website, find someone who's in need, and it's a loan. If it does well, you'll get your money back. You can make another loan, or you can let Care International spend money somewhere else. But it's just recognizing the hardship that folk at home are facing at the moment, but still encouraging them to try and address hardship abroad.
This is quite revolutionary then. So I go to lendwithcare.org and read about the work that's being done and find a site for investment that appeals to me for whatever reason, and then I make a donation, and if it transpires that the scheme succeeds, I could theoretically get my money back.
Yes, exactly right. And the recipient, and here's an important aspect to it as well, the recipient will know that it's a loan.
Yes.
And I spent last weekend in Bosnia meeting some of the people that were able to help there. And to them, the absolute priority was getting the money to transform their lives. And many of them were widows whose husbands slaughtered at Srebrenica. Yes. But the second priority for them was to pay the money back. They knew they had to work hard. And one of the women that I personally am helping is a lovely soul called Tima. And her husband was slaughtered in the massacre. She lives with her son who escaped. And the money that I've been able to lend her means that she's going to be able to buy half a dozen sheep and a few chickens. Now, I live very comfortably in Hampshire, and I've got a few chickens.
Yes.
It's nice to have them around. We get fresh eggs and what have you. But for her, it is life-transforming. And the smile on her face when she knows that she can do that and start afresh. And when she seeds and she flogs the eggs and flogs the wool, you know, I'll get my money back. And I may then choose to get some guests. But it is a perfect circle.
It is. Forgive me if this is a fatuous question, but why is it not happening on a grander scale, and why are we not more aware of it?
It's beginning to happen. It's an interesting backstory. It began particularly in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, places like that, where the microfinance bit of it is also crucial. Because if you want to set up a business here in the UK, let's be real, whatever it is, I have to need quite a lot of money.
Of course you do.
You are an sorry.
Kate, we're just struggling with the line a little bit, Alistair, but I can still understand.
That okay?
That's much better, yes. Climb a ladder or something, go upstairs.
Yeah, yeah. I'll stick my hand up in the air. The point I was trying to make was, it's about scale. You know, if you and I wanted to set up a new business and bid for a radio franchise, we're going to need a lot of money. But for someone who's in the third world, impoverished, surviving from flooding or whatever it might be, literally a very small amount of money can make the world of difference. So microfinance over there then ran into a little bit of difficulty because you've got to be very careful. If it's being done by the profit-motivated finance sector, then, you know, yes. As you said earlier on, what it says on the tin is what it does. For me, the huge attraction of Care International UK is that we put the charitable lock on the scheme. Uh-huh. We are not in this to make money and profit. We are in this to help our fellow citizens, and therefore it is done at a reasonable scale. The charity doesn't make any money out of it at all, and when it works for people like Tima in Bosnia-Herzegovina, she succeeds, I'm a happy bunny, and Care goes on and does the next thing.
Indeed, she's on to her second loan, isn't she? So things are obviously working for her.
Absolutely, and I waded through the mud to see the first five sheep that she'd got, and I would like you, James, if you'd be so kind, to make a micro-donation to me so I can buy a new pair of boots, because they are ruined by the mud of Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Alistair Stewart, what a pleasure, and what a fascinating insight, actually, into a world of charity about which, well, I can only speak for myself, but I knew pitiably little. You can find out all the details from that interview with Alistair and more about lendwithcare.org on our own website at lbc.co.uk. Many thanks, Alistair Stewart. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC 97.3. Time now to return our attention to this question. It's a difficult question.